Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TaylorMade, the show where you ask the questions and you get your answers. TaylorMade by Hamline University head football coach Chip Taylor. In this month's episode, the coach talks to us about recruiting and reflects a little bit back on this past season. He answers fan-related questions about the team. And did the coach make the naughty or nice list with Santa this year? Let's find out on TaylorMade.
Well, let's welcome back Coach Taylor. Coach, first of all, Merry Christmas to you. I just wanted to say.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody. Appreciate the wishes and looking forward to the holidays and getting away for a brief moment. Not really getting away, but, you know, getting a chance to get down and see some family, but still will be working. So it'll be a good time.
Awesome. Do you have any team updates for us?
Team updates. We're coming right off the Augsburg game. Basler took a couple weeks off right before Thanksgiving and got right back in the weight room lifting and, you know, just doing a lot of team activities, you know, trying to keep these guys together as close as possible, you know, team study tables, team hoops night, going to watch our basketball team play, women's and men's, and hockey. So just keeping those guys together. So now finals have just finished, actually today. So guys are on planes from distance going back home to see their families. Guys are driving into Minnesota and Wisconsin to go back to see their families. So campus is pretty quiet right now.
A big thing you have to kind of jump into now is recruiting. So how is that going for you, and what are some strengths that you're seeing in this year's recruiting group?
The thing that I've learned, actually had to learn the hard way, there's never a time off for recruiting season. You know, the recruiting started for us back in June, and we just grind and plow through it the whole time. So it's going really well. It was really well during the season, and it's really picked up steam as the season has concluded. So I'm excited. I like where we're at. I like our numbers. Not to get too much into the weeds as far as, you know, where we're at positional wise, but I mean, we're targeting a lot of big people, and we just got to get bigger and we got to get faster and stronger with the high school students that we're recruiting. So
when will your team formally be meeting again for spring practice?
You know what? It's funny, man. We are always looking ahead, you know, setting training camp schedule. We just set the spring practice schedule. So we'll be back, I want to say it's April 2nd, and we'll get a chance to go spring drills and get a chance to be around our guys again and start teaching the fundamentals, special teams, offensive schemes, and defensive schemes. So that's an exciting time. So, and we have a lot of, you know, weightlifting opportunities leading up to that. So,
what does it look like for your time for the next 3 months then?
Yep, the next 3 months is, really just recruit. You're on the phone with parents, you're going to high school basketball and wrestling matches to watch these guys compete in something different, you're doing home visits, you're doing anything and everything you can do to make sure that the student athletes that we're trying to bring in know that this is a place that they're going to be cared for genuinely, you know, outside of just can they run a football or can they block somebody, you know, how are we developing these guys as young men. So, you know, that's where we're at. We're just trying to get as much contact with these guys as possible. So,
well, let's head into fan questions. We start with a couple from Rick. The first one is, do you think winning that last game has any special impact on the team heading into the offseason?
Oh, my goodness, Rick. It's huge going to the offseason. Just from me remembering being a player, what it was like winning that last game and then going into the offseason versus coaching, and then situations when I was been coaching and we won the last game going into the offseason, and now as a head coach, man, it just brings more steam into your off-season program. Guys have a good taste in their mouth, you know, at the banquet and in the weight room. So, I mean, it was huge. You know, the season didn't go obviously the way we wanted to, but to win the last one was big time for us, and we needed that bad. So,
Rick would also like to know, he says, I would also like to know, last season the Cleveland Brown fans got all excited when the team went 0-16. They wore that like a badge of honor. But how does a team feel about such a finish, do you think?
Again, you know what? I was very scared to go 0-10, so I don't know. I haven't been a part of an 0-anything, so I don't want to be a part of an 0-anything, so I don't know. I can't imagine what the psyche is like. Now, granted, NFL is a little bit different. I think those fans were excited because I would imagine they were thinking they were going to get a high pick, number one pick. So maybe they were excited for a reason because now they have their quarterback for the future. So I would think from that perspective, that's why people were excited. But for those guys in that locker room, those 53 guys in that locker room that went out there and laid it on the line every week, I guarantee you they weren't trying to lose games. They wanted to win. So I'd be willing to bet that. So
Carl would like to know, is this past season something you have the players wash from their minds, or do you want them to be reminded of it, looking for the lessons for next year?
Yep, not so much in a spiteful way to say, hey, we need to always keep this in our head because it did bad. It's a lot of so many teachable moments throughout the 2018 season that's going to help our young players develop into better football players on our 2019 team. So, yeah, I mean, we use it definitely. Every opportunity is an opportunity for growth and to learn. So, you know, I'm excited to, you know, get back with our guys and go back through films and, you know, do the study and the tape and see how we can get better because a lot of guys are coming back. So I'm excited about it.
Sean would like to know, I so hope we get back to where we were at Hamlin 2 decades ago. What does it take to be competitive against a Bethel, a St. John's, a St. Thomas?
That's a good question, man. That's what we're working towards every day, Sean, just so you know. And what it takes is what I've been doing since June, you know, as a leader of the program, you know, pulling back a little bit more on extra those, and it's all recruiting, right? I can be I was a really good football coach in 2016 when I had really good football players, right? I was a really good football coach in 2011, right? Coaching Bryce Robertson, All-American, had 13 interceptions. Bryce Robertson was a football player. So I got to do a better job of getting better football players into Hamlin and, you know, and then putting them in position to make plays, right? So that's, you know, that's my responsibility. So it starts with the recruiting aspect, and then it starts with our guys knowing what to do when they get out on that football field, keeping it simple so they can play fast. So we're on track. You know, we're on track, and we got some great alums here. The interaction with the alums are awesome. They want us to be good again. They know what it takes, and they've been good here, so we can do it. It just takes a little bit of time, and sometimes, you know, people don't have patience when it comes. You know, that's the era we're in. Everybody wants it now, now, now. So we just got to, you know, just keep working and doing our due diligence, which we are. So I'm excited about it.
Jacob says a lot of coaches have like a 5-year plan or some duration of time to where they expect to reach a certain level of success. Is that true in your case? And what level of success are you looking for if you had such a plan?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, it's always, for myself, it was more of a 3-year plan. Like, you know, where are we at in 3 years? You know, because now you've really got your guys in there. But again, with the model switching a little bit from my philosophy as far as football. Now it's recruit. So I'm interested to see where we'll be 3 years from now, you know, with the focus, with the leader of the program being myself, just all recruiting. Like, that's it. There is no more football for Coach Taylor. I mean, if my mind is not thinking recruit, then I'm not doing my due diligence here at Hamlin. So with that being said, you know, I don't like where we're necessarily at, but the way you fix it, again, is the recruit. And that's my sole purpose and sole job right now, is just recruiting and trying to get the best and the brightest guys in here to help us get this thing fixed, because that's what it's going to take to get the program to where I want it and where the alums want it and where our players want it. So,
Brandon would like to know, what were your thoughts on how far Bethel and St. John's went in the NCAA playoffs?
Oh, man, that was awesome. You know, when you compete against those guys, obviously you're trying to beat them. But when you get two teams that make it, and, you know, when they're, you know, the word I'm looking for, the character that their head coaches have. And I mean, I was pulling for those guys. I wanted those guys to go the whole way, man, the whole distance. So, you know, it was a tough one to see those guys both lose, but man, I was excited for them and I was pulling for those guys that they get wins and continue to keep on winning in the playoffs. So it's good for our league.
Absolutely. Andre says, Coach, our buddy Andre returns. He says, Coach, I don't really understand what happened to our boys this season. Super Bowl hangover?
Well, Dre, I mean, it's the NFL, man. It is the NFL, right? Any week, right? If you don't come to play, man, you can get whacked, right? Any week, man. So, and it's almost like the Mayak, man. Every week, you got to come to play. So, you know, that's a tough one, you know. It hurt my heart because my neighbor is a Cowboys fan, and, you know, I got all excited, went to go watch the Cowboys and the Eagles with him, and he was just sitting back grinning when we lost to them Cowboys. So, you know, but then we come out and we beat the Rams, you know, so I don't know, man. Hopefully Foles can get hot, and we can get hot, and we're going to need some help to jump into the playoffs. And once you get into the playoffs, man, it's 1 week season there. So I mean, anything can happen, and we saw that happen last year. So I'm just crossing our fingers that we can finish out strong against the Texans, and then you know, see we can get some help. We're going to need help.
Andre also asked, they're talking about Wentz has fractures in his vertebrae. Doesn't that mean he's done?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, not being in the building and not knowing the situation, I mean, he probably needs to sit down and get himself healthy. Probably came maybe a little bit too fast, but again, that's just from the outside looking in, so I don't know. But, yeah, it'd be good for him to just get himself all the way healthy.
Andre would also like to know, he says, I will be honest, Coach, I would have thought that the way that the Eagles were playing, it would make me more focus on the Sixers, but I haven't really been able to get into it yet. Is that like it for the same way for you as well?
No, you know what? I've been as much as possible. I've been following them Sixers now. I mean, you know, they got a game out here March 30th. I'm getting ready to purchase my ticket, and I've been following because they've been having some national games. And I'm a big I was able to watch Jimmy Butler play here in the T-Wolves, so when he went to the Sixers, I'm super excited about that. And hopefully, we can gel and get it all together and make a good run with the East. I mean, this will be a fun once football season is over. This will be fun to kind of follow them Sixers. So.
Dan would like to know, now that you actually have time to enjoy sports, who do you see as the Super Bowl winner this year?
Wow, Dan, it's so tough because I don't get a chance to watch the games during the season. Just from what I've seen since we played Augsburg, you know, I saw all the hype I heard about the Rams and the Chiefs, but it seemed like they might be struggling a little bit. So the Saints, maybe Saints, Rams, Chiefs, they all seem like they're good football teams. If Pittsburgh, New England, I mean, I guess you can't count those guys out. You know, but I think it's going to come down to here's the deal. It's going to come down to who can run the football in December. Who can run the ball in December and January? If you can run the ball and play defense, whoever those teams are, they got a chance. There you go.
Boy, Pittsburgh sure looked good this last weekend, too. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eric says, I would like a coach's perspective on the whole Aaron Rodgers thing. Should a team really let a star player dictate if a coach should stay?
I think that all kind of has to do with, you know, how it's run from the top of the structure. You know, I don't, you know, necessarily think that's the right way to go about it. But again, there's so many variables and so many things you don't know about. So I don't know if I have enough education to talk about that situation. You know, but from the outside looking in, if that's what happened, no, I don't think that's the right thing. But you don't know. You don't know what the tension was between the head coach and the GM or the president. You just don't. We don't know that. You know, because we're not there day to day. So on the outside, it looks like maybe Aaron Rodgers might have ran him off, but we just don't know. So I don't know.
Next up is Luke, who says, I want to have greater faith in my Chiefs, but Andy Reid can't seem to get the team to go all the way. Why is it that some coaches can be so good in the regular season but can't take a team to the next level? I want to believe in my team, coach.
Well, again, playoff football is just a little bit different, you know. I'm a big Andy Reid fan. I was upset when he left Philly. Like Andy Reid, wins a lot of games. But, again, you know, playoff football is different. Difficult, you know, you don't know how players are going to respond, the weather, where you're playing. I mean, there's so many factors in the playoff football. So, you know, I still think he's a great coach. He's an elite coach. And, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing the Chiefs do go a little bit farther in the playoff run this year, because I am an Andy Reid fan. I'm also, back to one of those first questions, I'm definitely looking at the Chargers too. I want to see what they do with, the Chargers with, that head coach Anthony Lynn. I think he's doing a really good job, man. So it'll be fun to see him. If they can continue to run the ball and play defense, they'll be good too. So I know a Chiefs fan is not going to like that, but I forgot that team in the when they asked about who I think is can make a run. So
Luke could just edit out that last part that you just
yeah.
edited. Paul says, my friends look at the big contract and wonder why Cousins isn't lighting it up, but I think it takes a year for him to really grasp the offense and to get to know his teammates. Do you agree he will be much better next year?
Yeah, I think anytime you're in a situation where you can, you know, learn the offense, and again, right, that's the situation where they're talking about with Cleveland right now, Baker Mayfield, trying to get him with a coach where you can be with for 10 years like Brady's been with Belichick. So, yeah, absolutely, if Cousins can be with the same offensive coordinator, they just made a change at the coordinator spot. But if he can be with the same head coach and the same coordinator, he has the talent to do it. But change is tough, man. Change is tough. You're learning a new language and the way people operate and, you know, people's body language and how they communicate. All those things matter, man, in football, man. It's the greatest sport on earth, man, because there's so many moving parts in order to be good, right? So it's tough, so. Got to give them, again, right? Comes back to the word of patience. People don't have patience, man. People want things now, now, now. So just got to be a little bit more patient, and I think Cousins can get it done.
Ethan says, I hear coaches say that a player has a great football IQ. Is that something that can be taught, or do you have it, or you don't have it?
I think a little bit of it can be taught. I think it's a little bit more of, you know, how much is a player willing to do on his own? You know, does he study the game? Does he look at the game as like from a coach's perspective? When you turn the film on, are you just watching yourself, right? Or are you watching the whole scheme and are you understanding the whole play on how, you know, what the left tackle does affects what the running back does, or what the defensive end does is going to affect what I do as a linebacker and what the third level safeties, how does that affect what you know, if, what a linebacker does, how it affects what a safety does. So it just depends on if somebody's willing to put the time and the effort into studying the game, you know. But, you know, can you be taught that? Absolutely. I think coaches can get that taught, but there's a little bit of it, I think, in my opinion, of, you know, how much is the player willing to just really indulge in the offensive defensive game plan and really know it intimately. So, absolutely. IQ is huge.
We head to our Christmas portion of the show. Todd says, my girlfriend's family doesn't serve traditional Christmas dinner. They have pot roast for Christmas. That's just wrong.
Well, a different, you know, to go do different things and experience different cultures and eat a little pot roast, man. Make sure it's cooked all the way and you'll have a good Christmas day.
Lee would like to know, best and worst Christmas present you ever received.
Ooh, best and worst Christmas present? I'd have to say best Christmas present was maybe a bike that I wanted when I was in when I was in maybe second or third grade. It was a bike that had like a gear shifter on it. That was pretty cool. Worst Christmas gift? I can't say that I had a worst Christmas gift, man. I have my family with me every Christmas. You know, I'm not a material guy. It's not like every year it's like, oh, I need this, or I need an Apple Watch, or I need a new car. If I'm around my family, I mean, I'd be lying and said I had a worst Christmas, because I've been around my family every Christmas, so I haven't had a worst Christmas gift.
Lee says, best and worst Christmas present you ever gave.
Best and worst Christmas gift you ever, wow. Again, Lee, I'm not a big gift guy. You know, I've just never been the people that I hang around with, and my family, you know, we know we're a love family, man. Us being around each other are the gifts, so I can't really, there's nothing I can really sit and think of. Man, this was a great gift I gave or a terrible gift I gave. So I guess I'm not a good interviewer for that one. I apologize.
Chandra says, what does Coach Taylor hope Santa brings him this year?
You know what? Well, if we're really talking about it, we can get about 40 good football players. That'd be awesome. But in this class, Santa, if you can bring that, that'll be great. I'm joking. You know, just like in health, sound mind, you know, being able to have my family around that are healthy as well. I mean, that's the best Christmas gift for me. So, you know, if people traveling, whoever's traveling to travel and get to their destination, things, those are all Christmas gifts to me. So, that'll be great.
Nothing wrong with winning 5 300-pound linemen. That wouldn't be
bad. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, old Saint Nick, can you get that one dialed up for me, old Saint Nick? That'd be great.
Sanders says, I laugh now when I hear parents tell their kids that if they misbehave, Santa will put them on the naughty list. What kid doesn't misbehave?
Yeah, all kids misbehave is part of it. So, and it is what it is. Just something to maybe a little bit of a carrot to hold it to dangle to maybe get your son to take the trash out or behave better in school. So a little bit of motivation.
And we have a couple of questions from Amanda. The first is, do you think you made the nice or naughty list this year?
I guess it would depend on whose perspective you were looking from. I'd like to think that I made the nice list, but I do have a sweet tooth. I like a lot of candy, so maybe I eat too much candy, and maybe I'm on a naughty list for that. So,
Coach is always on the nice list. I can attest to that. Amanda would also like to know, Coach, do you have a favorite Christmas carol? And if you do, will you sing it for us?
Miss Amanda, I will not partake in doing any singing, and I would say, favorite Christmas carol would probably be
Little Drummer Boy, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. I do enjoy when that one comes on. And I like the Silent Night one by Boys to Men. I think there's a Silent Night. Yeah, I like that one.
Awesome. And why is it good to be a Piper?
Oh man, it's great to be a Piper. Just finished up with our finals. Again, I know people have heard me say it gets a little bit redundant on this show, but you know, the main reason our student athletes are here to get an education. So I'm excited to see how our final grades went. And you know, we're at a great institution with a great administration. So our players have everything that they need to be successful here, man. So I'm just excited and looking forward to working with the 2019 team and to keep it going, man, and to get this thing back to where we want it to be and where our alums and administration and our players want it to be. So,
awesome. Thanks for joining us, Coach.
We want to thank Coach Taylor for joining us on TaylorMade this month. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Hamlin coach, please send them to us at Chip Taylor at minorleaguesportsupport.com. That's Chip Taylor at minorleaguesportsupport.com. Remember, during the off-season, we will be recording the show once a month, so please have your questions to us by the first Monday of each month to have them included in this month's show. We want to thank you for joining us once again. I'm Rob Pannier from the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on TaylorMade.